needing to be cleansed from, needing Jesus to cleanse us from idols, part two. Last week, when talking on this subject, we were saying about idols and idolatry being, and when you get involved in idolatry, as Ezekiel 6 chapter speaks of, that God takes his wrath, a vengeance, a judgment, a chastisement upon the idolaters, upon the idols and those that worship idols. And we were seeing that he was talking to the children of Israel and Judah about the idolatry in which they had been taking part in, and that he was bringing judgment upon them, and he was speaking of their death, but also that a remnant would be saved. We were talking about it as pertaining to husband and wives last week, and that I was saying that you can love your wife or your husband too much. You can love someone too much, which leads to idolatry, because you should love the Lord thy God with all of their heart, with all of your mind, with all of your body. So anything that you place before him, whether it be children, church, Bible, anything else, is an idol. We don't want to place anything before God. But we see where some of these people were married, and I use Solomon as the example of one, and that it had been going on since that time, in that what do you do if you had already committed these things? What happens if you're already married? What happens then? What course of action should you take at that time if you bow down to idols, or if you bound to a spouse? Then we need to find out what course of action, because the idol normally falls in your life. Many fallen idols, when you get married, a lot of times after the honeymoon, after 6 months or a year or whatever, that fallibility of that idol is seen, and that vainness is there. You may want out of the marriage, you may want out of that relationship or whatever, because now you see that what you worship and can't fulfill you. And I was saying that the world says that a lot of them divorce because of irreconcilable differences, that we'll never get together on these things, we'll never be the same. And that, but it wasn't so in the church, because you've done something as a believer that you violated one of God's commandments, and now that you yoke together and violated the commandment, thou should not be unequally yoked. What do you do? It's like, I think my wife was talking about a sermon that T.D. Jakes, she said she heard him saying one time, I don't know if she liked it or not, but that you stuck. And I've been thinking about that. A lot of us are stuck. And he's right. You just stuck. What happens when you get stuck? You know, you don't listen at your parents, don't listen at anybody, and you didn't marry this person or whatever. Well, you stuck. His ambitions and your ambitions aren't the same, but you're stuck. So what do you do? We can't do it as in Old Testament time, because in Old Testament time, we couldn't handle it this way. It was from Nehemiah. Nehemiah seen them in Ezra where they had married the wrong people. You know, you can marry the wrong person. And they had went after strange flesh just as Solomon had did. Nehemiah 13 chapter, the 23rd verse, it says, in those days also I saw Jews who had married wives from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, same women that Solomon had married. And it says, and their children spoke half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak the Hebrew, but in the language of each people. And I contended with them and reviled them. See, now, the wives hadn't taught them or didn't have the ability to teach them what God says or God's laws. If you notice that God fixed it so that Moses' wife, Moses' mother, was able to raise Moses and teach Moses just what the Hebrew law said, that she was that midwife. So even though Pharaoh's daughter was considered his mother at that time, his actual mother told him about the laws of God. That's how Moses knew a whole lot of this stuff. That's why he said, don't be unequally yoked. Those women could tell you about their gods and goddesses. That's why I was asking him, did the husband and wife belong to the same church? There's a problem when it's not. That's a sure sign of somebody's in idolatry. We have to watch this now. He says, and I contended with them and reviled them and beat some of them and pulled out their hair and made them swear to God, saying, you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons of yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, that's who I was telling you about, that's your main example of what not to do. The wisest man in the world, wisdom, was the biggest fool it was. All these wives, you could see that was a problem. He got that many wives. You could see a man with many problems. That's why he wrote Ecclesiastes. He says, didn't Solomon, king of Israel, act treacherously against God and miss the mark on account of such women? Among many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel, yet strange women even caused him to sin. When he was old, he turned treacherously away from the Lord to other gods, and God rent his kingdom from him. That's what caused the division of the kingdoms, was Solomon. Shall we then listen to you to do all this great evil and act treacherously against God by marrying strange heathen women? One of the sons of Josiah, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. He chased him off. He was of the priestly class who had married the wrong women. Oh my God, remember them because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priests and the Levites. And thus I cleansed them from everything foreign heathen, and I defined the duties of the priests and Levites, everyone in his work, and I provided the wood of offering and appointed times and for the first fruits. But if you read that in the book of Ezra will tell you, in reading it, that Ezra was saying this wasn't easy to do, to put those women away and those children at that time, because it was wintertime. It's in the book of Ezra, the 10th chapter, the 1st through the 4th verse. If you read your notes from last week, you'd have read that it wasn't easy to do this, because you're married, now you're having to get a divorce, and you're putting people out in the cold, and you're doing these things that you transgress God with. See, and that was from man's knowledge and man's wisdom of what man was saying. And the people in Corinth was kind of perplexed, and they wrote Paul in the 7th chapter of Corinthians about this, about the spouse departing from the wife or whatever. But in the New Testament, we see that Jesus has come along, and he showed the principle behind the law. He was the face behind the law, and this wasn't the way to deal with those things. And man has always dealt with things. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. So, even though these was priests and prophets and things, this wasn't the way to handle sexual immorality. We see in the book of Deuteronomy, because God hates divorce. He said it in Malachi. He said it throughout the Bible. I hate putting away. He hate that. And there's exception clause. I don't want to just get into a teaching. I'll have to have a series one of these times on divorce. But there was exceptions to the rule if you married someone and found some sexual immorality or uncleanliness in her or him. There were exceptions to that rule whereby you can divorce a wife. He addressed this in the book of Matthew. The only way he addressed this in Matthew was toward that point of uncleanness, which is porneia, fornication. Because if you remember Mary, when she was espoused to Joseph, that he was trying to think of a way to put her away, because it wouldn't have been adultery which Mary would have committed. It would have been fornication. So what happens is he addressed it from that point, because we're looking at the death penalty here, but Joseph was thinking of a way to put her away privately, because he was a just man. He had already committed it. In Hebrew law, once you betrothed, engaged, it's the same as being married at that time when you do get engaged. So he was thinking, trying to think privately of a way to put her away. In other words, a way to divorce her. And when the Lord spoke to her, to him concerning that matter. But Paul, if you look at, that's the fifth chapter of Matthew. Well, Jesus deals with things the way God's words say it should be. The way things should be. So he told them, they said, well, why did Moses command us, or give us a command that we could divorce the wife? See, because they were listening at some teachers or rabbis or Halil in different schools of thought. And one of them said, you can divorce her for any cause. And that wasn't true, Jesus said. You couldn't divorce her for any cause. It had to be that exception of adultery. We'll have to go into that. I don't want to spend the time on adultery and remarriage and fornication and all that. But Jesus took them back to the beginning. He said, this wasn't so in the beginning. He says, because of the hardness of your heart, he gave you a law of divorcement to show you how to do that, because they were hard-hearted. Some people are hard-hearted. And as I was telling you about irreconcilable difference and the reason the world divorced or whatever, and I think that's where the church get into a problem. When we wade into the things of the world, it is better for them to divorce or to get away from around each other before they hurt one another. And that's why you see sexuality is one of the things that leads to murder among spouses, among girlfriends and boyfriends. You're reading the paper, hear it on the news all the time, because it's a joining together. It's an illicit, illegal, sexual, immoral, unclean union. But when those two unite, a lot of times to break them up, it's death that they do part. The husband or the wife kill one another. The girlfriend or boyfriend kill one another. So by worldly standards, since they're not taking heed to God's standards, it is better to divorce because of irreconcilable difference or whatever. Because through worldly standards and things, you'll never work that out. And we can't hold you to a biblical standard, because you're not worshiping our God. You're not following his commandments. And you got in that through lust. You married because of love. You married because of beauty and everything. What happens when that's gone? What happens when it's like Tina Turner or whoever said it, says, what's love got to do with it? See, because you were in lust. And the world defines love a different way. A lot of them now, they've even gotten away from saying in love. They got to the point where say, well, we just friends, and some of us friends with benefits. All of these things that they're using today to play with sex, in which the church shouldn't be involved in that. So that's why though they act that way, and I say they're smart to get away from each other or whatever, because there's nothing that's binding or holding them together with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that's shed abroad in you. If you love somebody and you're doing something for God, it's not that you love that person of the phileo love. It's not that love that's erotic, a love of having that, in other words, it's a sense of obligation, a command of what God say do when you're in the church or when you're a believer. That's much different when you're unbeliever. You crack one another in the head or shoot a stab or whatever. Well, in the Bible, if you're a believer, you know that the Bible says thou shalt not kill. So it says in the book of Deuteronomy, when he was writing this in the law, see, because they hate, God say he hate divorce. Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter. If a man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring up evil and name evil name upon her, and I say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. In other words, she's not a virgin. She is sexually unclean, immoral, unclean. There's other problems. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he had given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thine daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take the man and chastise him. And they shall amass him 100 shekels. In other words, charge him 100 shekels of silver, and give them that he should give it unto the father of the damsel, because he had brought an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all of his days. In other words, you'd have been little your wife and everything, you talked about her, and you're not happy after you didn't marry her. You like Amnon, you didn't went with her now. You can't divorce her. You bad mouth, and you either charge her for bad mouth, and now you can't put her away. That's what the law says. That's what God's law says. You can't just see, the woman had kept herself pure. Now that's gonna be hard nowadays because, like I say, they're friends with benefit, and most of these women or men have so many miles on them when they do get married. The spouse don't want them because they found out, well, you've been fooling around and this and that, that, and because we play with sex, you see. And God says, you didn't fall in love, you fell in lust. That was an idol to you, and when that idol is fallen, now you want to discard her. But let's keep on going. But if this is true, and she done that, and she do be found that way, they go put her to death because she's played the harlot. A lot of women cause men to fall in love with her. Men fall in love with women, or women fall in love with men, and they see that person as the sun and the moon sets up, and they can't. The father, the mother, can't nobody tell them nothing. I'm gonna marry them anyhow. They might get that person from under somebody, and after they get married, after a while, they stop cooking, they stop working, they stop doing this. So I'm talking male and female. They stop, and you start seeing that person for just what they is. And then you want to kill one another or whatever. But then that's why that happens, because God allows the wrath of God, of that judgment, to come up on them, because they were in idolatry anyhow. They were worshiping one another. They married for the wrong reason. That's why he tells us not to be unequally yoked and not to marry for the wrong reasons. We marry because God told us that if we can't abstain from sex, from those different things, that it's nothing wrong with marriage. See, sex can't be the end game in marriage. If that's the end game, what happens when there's no sex in the marriage? That means there's no longer a marriage. See, but you still have the responsibility. You still have children. You still have, if you don't have children, you have your obligation to one another, because you had created a union in God. What God had joined together, let no man put asunder. But if you married with such an attachment or emotion to that woman or man, then that was an idol, and if you love her too much, that's why we're having the killing going on. Because your idol is slain, and you're trying to hold on to something that's not yours. And God causes that person to be seen. He said he was going to let you see in the book of Ezekiel. He says that you will go see, verse 4, and your altar shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. And I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken down and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. It's like the War of the Roses or whatever. Michael Douglas and this woman that was in there with him, Kathleen Turner, they were killing one another because the house was desolate. It was broken down. It was destroyed because they worship on the idol of sex. That bed was their altar. That's where they worshiped at. They worshiped one another. They didn't worship God. And see, if you didn't marry it out of lust, you're stuck now. You need to find out what to do while you're stuck. You need to turn to God. You need to find God. But see, if you bound in the Lord, you need to stay bound. You can't seek to be loose. Like I say, you stop. You need Jesus to cleanse you of that idol. You need Jesus to cleanse you of loving your spouse more than you of loving God. That's the only thing that you can do, is have Christ in your life. Turn. In other words, you see that these people have to repent. Repentance is necessary. You went down the wrong road. You did wrong. You confessed to God that you turned away from God. You in the situation you're in, and there are consequences for that situation, but you need to turn to God and allow Him to make a restoration. Allow Him to save you. And you may get your spouse saved in doing that. But even in the case of verse 22, I might have skipped a verse or two here, but even in the case of rape, if you force yourself up on her and she didn't cry out or she didn't say anything, did you know you was bound to marry her and you couldn't divorce her? Boy, if that law was here today, if you rape somebody, you got to marry and you can't lose from them. You talking about a horrible life you living in. If y'all didn't marry for love, you didn't rape to the reason you together. So God hates divorce. He hates putting away. And He allowed this because of the hardness of some people's heart. They wasn't forgiving. Because, you know, a young man, God asked me years ago about this. He had married this woman, but she couldn't stop doing what she was doing. And I say, well, do you love her? Do you love God? He was talking to me as a minister. He was asking my advice. And I said, well, you just got to simple the way she is. She was a whore when you met her, in that you couldn't change that. I said, look at Hosea. God told him to go marry Gomer. That's the life she lived. I said, you're to love your wife. God's command man to love his wife. You're not responsible for her action. God's going to get her for her actions. You have to give account to God. So if you're happy being married, you just have to put up with her unfaithfulness. Hosea's wife had several children. God said, now you see how I feel, Hosea. When y'all worshiping other gods and doing all this, now you see how I feel that it didn't happen to you. See, a lot of times we don't see how things are until it happened to us. Hosea couldn't divorce his wife. He put her back together. That's why David went back and got his wife, Michal. If you notice, with the concubines that Absalom went with, that David got those concubines back, but he closed them up that he didn't sleep with them no more because of the law of uncleanness. He wouldn't be clean to do that again, because there were unfaithfulness on both their behalf, because this was a because of punishment for him going with Bathsheba, that God allowed his son to sleep with these people. Like I said, I'm not getting into the thing of divorce now, because what happens is that we have to fight and strive to keep God in our lives. After we've destroyed that, if we say we're a child of God, we need to know how to get back in good standing with God. Adam didn't divorce Eve. Adam wasn't allowed to divorce Eve. David, didn't divorce. Okay, so what happens is, if we go to Corinthians 7, chapter 1 Corinthians, as I was saying, when Paul was going over this issue, because they had wrote to Paul and they were trying to address this issue, because that was a Gentile church. There wasn't Hebrews. How should we do this during the New Testament era? See, during that era of the Hebrews and under their culture and their law, That's why Nehemiah was trying to rectify the problem by causing them to put the wise away. But as I say, this is the New Testament era. This is under Christ. And I'll close with that in a minute. With Christ, how he resolved his divorces. See, because remember, he gave Israel a bill of divorce. He hadn't divorced Judah yet. That's why the door was open to Judah, not Israel, because he had given her a bill of divorce because of unfaithfulness, of idolatry. Same thing with Solomon. Solomon committed idolatry. He didn't divorce any of the women, but the sin was primarily against God. David said, I've sinned against you, Lord. I've sinned against, sin is against God. Paul says, now as to the matter of which you wrote me, it is well that I mean is advantageous, expedient, or profitable and wholesome for a man not to touch a woman, but to remain unmarried. So it's better not to be married. It was the women asking these questions here because a lot of the women wanted to divorce the husband. They wanted to remain celibate. They didn't want to have relations with the men. They said they think they could serve God better. You see, the whole object, the whole purpose for man is what? To glorify God. We're not in this for our pleasure, our fun. It's not about you. Oh, a lot of them say, well, I don't love him no more. We're not happy. It ain't about you being happy. It ain't about you having fun. You got kids. You need to stay married because of your kids also. Are you married because you divorced? That's against God. That's the consequences of you marrying. That's why when Jesus was talking about this and the disciples say, well, if that's the case, it's better not to be married. Because marriage is to death do you part. You didn't become one body, one person. You are a new creation in Christ. When a man leave his wife, his mother, him and his wife to cleave together as one. So the disciples actually say, well, in that case, it's better not to be married. He's not going to go against this law and then go tell you, okay, we're divorced. Because if you ever divorce, you can't remarry. Because the only grounds there was for divorce was that adultery was committed by one of the people. And if they do remarry, they've caused the other one to commit adultery. So it's no remarrying. That's why Paul said you should remain as I am. There's no grounds for you remarrying if you didn't divorce somebody. The church is teaching about remarriage. No, it's not. Paul said, you should abide as such as him. Now, like I say, I don't want to get too tied up in the rules of divorce on this issue. We're just showing you about the temptations turning into idolatry. He says, but because of the temptation to impurity and to avoid immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, goodwill, kindness, and what is due her as his wife. And likewise, the wife to husband. For the wife does not have exclusive authority and control over her body, but the husband has his rights. Likewise, also the husband does not have exclusive authority and control over his body, but the wife has her rights. Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer, but afterwards resume marital relations, lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint of sexual desire. Okay. Something's not going right. He's not pleasing you. She didn't gain weight, he didn't gain weight, or something's not right, or you got somebody else on the outside. But you still owe it to your partner to have sexual relations with him or her. No matter if the marriage getting along right or not, you didn't found another idol or not, but you still owe due to that husband or that wife as a matter of God. That's a matter of staying married, is that you owe a marital debt by God. That's why I say, I put it differently with the heathen, the unbelievers, because it's no way you can do that in the natural. In the natural, you can't do that. That's why you need God in your marriage. That's why you need God with everything you do. You need God. Your idol has fallen But now you're trying to get another idol, and that's going to lead to you further sinning against God. So your wife can't withhold marital things. Oh, I got to, hey, I don't feel that. No, but her body belongs to you. You can't hold from your wife or whatever because your body belongs to her. And even if the relationship is not going right, you still should have that in there. Because like I say, sex is just a thing in there. It's not, it don't have anything to do with anything else. That's one of the things. If that's what you married for, you need to keep doing that. That's why you married in the first place, because you couldn't abstain. Okay. But I'm saying this more as a matter of permission and concession, not as a command or regulation. As a spirit-filled man, this is not one of the things Jesus went over, so it's not in writing in the Bible, but being having the Spirit, he was able to speak to this matter. I wish that all men were like I myself am, as in having this matter of self-control. But each has his own special gift from God, one of this kind and one of another. But to the unmarried people and to the widows, I declare that it is well or good and advantageous for them to remain single, even as I do. But if they cannot have self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. But to married people, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. Now, this is a commandment. He says, now that I will speak in by permission, but this is by the law, that the wife is not separate from her husband, but if she does separate from the husband, let her remain single, let her be reconciled to her husband. And I charge the husband also that he should not put away his wife or divorce his wife. Now he's speaking by commandment that. If you feel that you and your husband can't get along, it's best you separate. But if you separate, that means you're saying that you have to abstain from sex. Because if you can't, you need to be reconciled back to your husband. Because if you're going with another idol or another man or something in there, you're violating God, and there's a law of defilement. In other words, if you have relations with another man or woman during that time you separated, you have caused your husband or wife to commit adultery because you've been defiled. He can't remarry you then. He can't get back with you then because you're unclean. And you remember the exception if he finds some uncleanliness in her. And if he's hard-hearted, he'd have to put up with that. Now, see, Joseph was a just and righteous man, and he believed in following God. See, if you just and righteous, as I was telling this guy when I told him, well, you just have to put up for what she's doing. Because he says, wait a minute. To the rest, I declare, I not the Lord. This, if any brother has a wife who does not believe in Christ and she consents to live with him, he should not leave or divorce her. And if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she should not leave or divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is set apart or sanctified by the believing wife or the believing spouse. So as I was saying, if he following and believing God and his wife is living like Gomer was living, she's sanctified, that marriage is sanctified by the bond of marriage where honorable is undefiled before God. So what he should not do is commit adultery. He should remain married to that wife. He shouldn't divorce if she wants to stay divorced. But he says, if she want to divorce and want to leave, let her leave. Now, if God resolved to take away your misery that way, by letting your husband or wife leave, or divorce you and go, well then you loose from the wife then. Either if you die, he can take away that by death, you know. He could, if the spouse is dead, that's why some come through that in Christ with the Jews after a while. That then you're free to marry who you want to marry then, if the spouse is dead. But if the divorce occurs, and it was because of adultery, you're not free to remarry. Because whoever marries her or him committed adultery. You caused them to commit adultery. See, divorce is a very obstinate. He didn't like divorce. He didn't want divorce. So these churches that's preaching remarry, get married. That's why I say we have to talk to the people that's already in this situation that this has already happened to. What do you do to get right with God? What do you do now that you're stuck, that you're in this position that we're talking about now? Christ is the answer. We have to look to Jesus Christ. That's why I said they didn't have Jesus. We have to look to Jesus who cleanses us from all sin. We can't continue in sin and continue to do things and complicate this matter. We have to turn it over to God. We have to place ourselves in Jesus' hand. Because then we take up his commandments. We follow what Jesus say do. Okay. This commandment of God can only be fulfilled through Christ. Remember I tell you, it has to be the Spirit in you. When Christ says, it is written, you saying an eye for a tooth, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and you should do that. He said, I command you, I tell you, love your enemy. Because you remember you asked me about that the other day, when he says, no new commandment I give unto you. See, it wasn't a new commandment because he wasn't placing us under the law. When he says, but I say, well, whatever Jesus said, he's not commanding you. This is the liberty that had set us free. Because then that's spiritual. If you're doing what Jesus said, you're being led by the Spirit of God because you're not under the law. So he's telling you to love your enemy. Love those that despitefully use you. Who persecutes you. Well, if your wife messing around or your husband messing around you, she's persecuting you or he's persecuting you. They're using you. It's a lot of men out there being used by the wife, by the husband. The spouses mingle fool out of them. Some of them work themselves to death and the spouse doing some everything in the world. They're spending your money recklessly, living all kinds of ways. But they have to answer to God for that. That's part of your consequences for getting an idol. You got to put up with that idol. Solomon had to put up with those idols. Those women worried the hell out of him. That's why he had to build them separate temples of worship. That day when he heat sometime, you go into church with me this morning, you better go. You ain't going to regret it. He went to their temples to worship with them. God said, see, I told you that before you married those women. That you was going to commit adultery. And I see he didn't divorce them, but it caused him to lose all that he had. Because he went in and built temples to Chemosh, Ashdod, Moabites, all those. He went in to worship. See, you ask God to free you from these things. God has to find his way of free. He has to cleanse you, and he only does that through the Son. So Jesus, listen to Jesus' commandments. As he writes, he's not going to tell you something you can't do. So you need to be full of the Spirit so you can do these things. Because you can't render evil for evil. He says in Ephesians 5:22-31. Wives, be subject and submissive. Adapt yourself to your own husband as a service to the Lord. Now see, if you had a believing wife, that's something else. Man, it's nice to have a wife that's as Sarah was, that's obedient to God. So he's speaking to both of them in this, but suppose your wife is an unbeliever. But listen at what he's saying to the wives and the husband. You can't give account of her not paying attention to what God said. She have to answer to God for herself. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. You don't find that in scripture to wives. It might say in the book of Timothy that the older women should teach their wives the young women to love their husband. But this is a commandment from the Lord. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Tell me this. As Christ loving us when we were in sin, Christ loves us for all we do wrong now. Are we pure or do we commit sin now? Don't he still love us? Hadn't we did things wrong? Well, just as Christ loved us when we are unloving, we're to love our wives when they're unloving. See, those fallen idols you still have to love. There are a lot of men, now I've seen this in the world, but not in the church. I've heard this in the world from a lot of men, that they were better friends, and them and their wives was closer now that they're divorced. You know what happened? They had met an idol and had married that idol. That idol didn't fulfill what they thought it was going to fulfill, because this woman would talk to him, this man would talk to him, and they wasn't married to one another. So the relationship was good. God had someone there, but you took it the wrong way. You've cheated on your spouse, on your husband or wife, and you kicked them to a side. You dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. And you got this person that you thought was everything in the world. That was an idol to you because, what? You violated God's commandments to get that. You put that before God. That was wrong to obtain that. And I told you what you obtained the wrong way or what is sin. God caused that to fall in your life because that's an idol. Now y'all can't stand one another. Now y'all ain't dealing right. You say, well, look, I wish we'd have never got married. I wish we'd have never did this. We were better friends. And a lot of them, after divorce, they much better be back on, because that's how you should have been. It was lust that put you together. Just because somebody's friends with you, that don't mean they want to sleep with you. And that's how we got it in sitcoms. That's why it's a lot. I told my wife, it's a lot of them I don't watch anymore. Because it's a good relationship, but everybody wants the leading character to sleep with the leading lady or the leading man. That relationship not necessarily going to go right. We want a storybook in it. But after they marry, they don't show you the, you know, that's just writing. That's fiction. That's what that they write that to be. But they don't show you their differences after they are married, after they get that they were lusting or obtaining the wrong way. That's why you need to stay away from some of these things on television. That's a soap opera-like life. That's a movie. That only happens in the movie, not in real life. You obtain it the wrong way. You were better before you slept together. It says, love as Christ so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. You remember I tell you the word is what washes her and cleans us. And in the Old Testament it says, thine husband is thine maker. In other words, by her following your lead. But we have to look at that closely. See, Solomon wasn't able to do this because he wasn't a strong man. If he was a strong man, he'd have brought these women from idolatry. But see, when you cave into your wife or you cave into your husband and you violate God, God's not going to let you get back there that way. See, because you knew the truth and you departed from it to get something else that was illegal. That's why a parent has to live, thread the line with the children. That's why I say you must hate your mother, father, or even your own self or your children and love me more. In other words, you got to tell them what's right. And you got to live what's right. Because they see you cutting corners, they never going to look up to you. God's not going to allow that to happen. Not the legal way, because it's an idol in your life. He's going to call these idols to fall. That's why he says it's going to be in it that your enemies going to be those of your own household, because you're not man enough to lead that household. You got to be a man to lead God's church. He said, if you can't rule your own house, you can't rule the house of God. You have to be able to speak the word and walk in the word. This is the only thing that's going to sanctify us is the word and Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. That he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Even so, husband, you should love your wives as a sense of loving your own body, and nobody hates his own self. Okay, as we go a little bit further there. To him that does this, in other words, following God's word, he will know it is God who gives him grace to do so. Let's not just quote scriptures to be quoting scriptures, because we talk about doing all things through Christ, and all this, but we need to get cleansed from idols, and we need to look to Christ to do that. So let's look at Colossians 3rd chapter, 16 through the 19th verse. Let the word spoken by Christ have its home in your hearts and minds, and dwell in you in its all its riches, as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and in wisdom. In other words, in spiritual things. And psalms, sing psalms and hymns, making melody to God with grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, this is the verse I'm trying to get after. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, verse 17, no matter what you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. His person. What is his person? You remember I told you the Holy Ghost was a person? Through the Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It has to be done in Jesus' name. But you can't steal somebody's wife or husband in Jesus' name. You can't go tell somebody else God told me to do this and it's illegal to do. You can't go to a dice game and try to gamble somebody's money or go to the lottery and win this. Or you can't kill somebody and say, God told me to do this. You say, God told you to do this? We need to find out why God violated this. Because he's not good. That's a sure word of prophecy. Well, we have to know it. And we see that there are some teachings that can get you construed up on what God had said. That's what Satan was trying to do to Jesus, to get him crossed up on what God had said. So whatever you do in word or deed, you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is right and fitting and your proper duty in the Lord. That's in the Lord. Whatever. He can't make you to submit outside of the Lord. That's why I say, if the believing wife stay with that unbelieving husband, well, he's talking about selling dope in your house and beating, abusing your children and doing all this. No, you may be putting up with it in the Lord. The Lord's going to free you from that. But that's the consequences of you getting into that. But she don't have to obey you in that. That's why a lot of women, they say, well, why did she stay with him and he killed her, whatever. They're a mar for God now. In other words, they didn't violate God by divorcing their husband. The husband killed them. But you remember I told you he don't pay everybody on Friday. God can resurrect those that died doing his will. If that woman died doing the will of God and you kill her, you're going to answer to God for her. But she gave her life believing that God would do just as he promised. But see, we want the rosy side of this thing. It's got churches telling women to leave or divorce their husbands and things. I don't see that as being scriptural. I can't advise you against scripture. You stop. You got to look unto Jesus. And you got to do as Job. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Now, he was getting Job through sickness. He got him through other people or whatever. But you got to look at everything that's happened to you. It says whatever you do, all that's coming from the Lord. If it's sickness or whatever is coming, it's coming from God. And it causes us to curse does not come. Things don't just happen now. And you have to face up with the facts. Telling my daughter the other day, we were communicating back and forth when I was going to get the x-ray or whatever. And she was praying that she rebuked this in Jesus' name and that they wouldn't find anything or whatever. But I texted her back. Like I said, I didn't want to get in a religious conflict anything with her. But as a loving father and a parent, I texted her back that I said, the Lord be with me. Whatever happens, pray that he give me the strength to face whatever happens and that he bring me through. And I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. That it could happen because, you see, a lot of religions try to make us believe in magicians. I knew that there's something was wrong with me, that I needed surgery or something. But she's saying that they don't find anything. That's the problem with a lot of doctors. We're sick and the doctors can't find what's wrong with us. My wife telling her she's sick, though she got this. Well, I don't see nothing. They're not paying attention. There is something here. You a faith healer all right enough, but when I die, you gonna say it's a lack of my faith. No, it's something wrong here. Now, you might not confine it, but if it's there, God could move it and God could heal what's not there. But didn't he tell each one of here, say, go show yourself to the priest? The priests were the physicians in those days, and they verified that this had been healed. So it's no use me claiming something that's not there. God is the only one that call those things that are be as though they are not. Not us. So if something's wrong, he give us pain and sickness for a reason. And we should pray that he give us the strength. Or he send the right doctor that can detect that and do something about it. That's why Luke was a doctor. He didn't go against the physician's union. God had put man here to help us. So, what am I saying in this last point? We have to have Jesus in us, and we preached on the fruit of the Spirit. We have to have the spirit of forbearance. That spirit grows in us. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. The definition of forbearance, to endure, to do without, to hold oneself back, especially from an effort, to leave alone, to shun, hold back, abstain. Sometimes you just have to forbear with your children. You have to put up with who they marry. You have to put up with the things they do. God has to give us strength to put up with it. I was telling the guy, if you had to put up with an unfaithful spouse, as Hosea did, God has to give you that strength. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll kill. You'll hurt her or him. God has to give you that the fruit to be able to forbear people doing you or saying you something to you. God has to give you that. And as you resist the devil, resist the temptation to treat her wrong. In other words, don't be bitter because they left you, that spouse left you or whatever. You're to love, you're still to show kindness. You can't let that make you bitter. You can't start hating all women and hating all men, because then you're not letting that accomplish what God allowed that to happen. He allowed you into that bad marriage or whatever for a purpose, and that was to strengthen you for in the latter time for you to say, God, I didn't got myself in a fix. I'm stuck. I need you to help me to get out of it. I need you to help keep me through it. He'll keep you through these things. I don't know what happened to Miss Job. Job just told his wife, you don't sound like my wife. But I see Job got more children. I don't know if it's by that wife or another wife. But see, he had faith in God, and he forbore through his sickness. He forbore through his losses. He looked unto God. He said, I know that in my body I shall see him for myself. See, you have to trust and believe in Jesus to bring you through whatever you're going through. It hurts me a lot of times, and I'm in pain right now. But I believe Jesus will give me strength to stand and deliver. That's where your confidence is. You could take anything that this world dish out to you if you got Christ, the hope of glory, in you. See, they didn't have it like we have it now. We couldn't put up with children and doing what children do us. We couldn't put up with unfaithful spouses. Right now, Hillary Clinton is poised to run for the president of the United States if she wants to. But she had to endure something. She had to endure the world saying, I'd divorce him. The very woman that said that, her husband is a senator for Louisiana. He committed the same crime, and she was saying she wouldn't be the kind of stand by your man, woman. And now that she didn't went back on what she said, Hillary Clinton is still poised if she wants to run for the president of the United States. But if she'd have divorced her spouse and not just listened and made it through, and then she, you know what? After you do these things, it says you are able to counsel others. You use those bad experiences because she used that bad experience to counsel Anthony Weiner's wife, who had did something online, not to divorce her husband. But the world said that we should have divorced her. But God says, I hate divorce. So if the Gentiles do that by conscience, what we violate, which we know is the law of God, whom shall God bless? Like I said, we can't abrogate our duties. We have to remain faithful. In the book of Revelations, he says, "And to the angel of the assembly of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame and whose feet glow like bright and burnished and white-hot bronze. I know your record. I know what you're doing. Your love and faith and service and patient endurance. That your recent works are more numerous and greater than your first ones. You might be hooked to unfaithful spouse. You might be hooked to a lazy spouse. You might be going through all kinds of trouble in your marriage. And you doing what a man or woman should be doing. Keep on doing that. Don't let nobody else tell you that you should do this and do that. You keep pressing on what God said are the responsibilities and duties of a spouse. God sees that. He says, but I have this against you. That's what you want to find out. Do God have something against me? He says that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming that she has some spirit to inspire, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that you're working hard as a man of God. But you married to an unbelieving spouse. She has the spirit of Jezebel. In other words, you tolerate your wife because I commanded you to love your wife. But I see that. And I'm rewards you. You do what you're supposed to be doing. You keep on doing that. But this, what I got against you, you need to start standing up again. You stand where God tell you to stand. If Solomon would have tore all them worship houses down, and wouldn't have went worship with his wives. If Ahab would have stood up to Jezebel, said, because he said, you see how Ahab humbled himself? I'm not going to do it to Ahab in his time. See, if we humble ourselves before God, see, you have to stand up and start standing in God's word. But see, the church is tolerant like this guy was. See, even though he was doing what he's supposed to be doing, it was still something God wanted him without a spot. As the head, he was tolerating his wife. He was putting up with her. You need to let this thing come to a head. If she walk, Paul say, if they want to depart, let them walk. I'm going to stop bending to you. Whatever you do, King, I'd rather go through the fires. I'd rather live in the corner of the rooftop. I'd rather live single the rest of my life. I'll go back to just living as a eunuch. I'd have to do without. But you can walk, honey. I'm not going to go against my God. You can walk. You stop tolerating and putting up with anything from anybody. Tell my wife, if that doctor ain't doing right and you don't think this and God leads you, get another doctor. But don't let nobody let you compromise. Don't compromise with the world. Jesus said, I can do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'd rather be in pain than to be in pleasure over there with you for a season. Because I'm not going to bow to you and I'm not going to bend. But I would rather go through the fire. Now, he said, if he don't deliver us, we're not going to be too careful and answer you. I don't care how it happened. I'm not going to bow down to your gods. Don't give in. Not an inch. He said, I gave her space to repent. But she had no desire to repent of her immorality, her idolatries, and refusing to do so. Take note, I will throw her on a bed of anguish, and those who commit adultery with her will bring down and distress, and her kids too. And I will strike her children too. If her children happen you did this, I'm going to kill all of them too. But you need to stand. Take your stand. God see what you're going through. God see what's going on. So that's what happens when you get stuck. They tell you that. That's a part of the old saying. What happens if you're at the end of the rope? Tie a knot and just hold on. You just hold on. Jesus is coming. You just have to endure. You're in that fix. God's with you in the fix. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. Through affliction, through persecution, through hard time, he's right there with you. He's right in that bad marriage with you, wherever you are. So, as we close this, in conclusion, He said on the cross, "It is finished." He gave up the spirit. What did that do for us? Doesn't it sound good? He got on the phone and we was talking to him and calling. And he says, "Look, my wife's dead now. My husband's dead now. We can marry now. You've been lusting after me. We've been panning after Jesus. We couldn't marry Jesus because he was married to Israel. He was married to Judah. But on the cross, that was the final divorce. He was free to marry. You know, unless there's the death of a testator, then you can enforce the new will. When he died as God on the cross, because Pilate says, what I've wrote, I've wrote. And he wrote above the headstone, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Well, they killed their husband. They killed the King of the Jews. When he rose up, when God rose him up, he took a Gentile bride. He was free to marry us. We're married to Christ. There's no Jew or Gentile now. So forget about all these people talking about a red heifer and what the Jews and what Israel doing. Those murders that's murdering people in Gaza right now. You think God's with them? No. Jew or Gentile, those are people you're doing that to. He divorced them on the cross. It was finished. He was free to marry to those who was of Abraham lineage, who have faith in him, who walk by faith, not the works of the law. It's not by flesh. Circumcision is of the heart now. It's not of the flesh. It's not of the flesh. He's free to marry us now. If we hunger and thirst and let no other God, nothing else before him, you're free, and him and the Father come and dwell in us. We're free to be filled by Spirit. We can be the sons of Abraham. Those of the faith. Who Jesus Christ can, he'll marry us. That we his bride. We're the church. It's a Gentile bride. Jew or Gentile is no difference. That death of that spouse made him free from the Jews. He was free from the works of the law. That's why he says, "I say." And if we do what he say do, we're free, because there's liberty in Christ Jesus. But we have to continue in his word, and his word washes us and cleanses us and purges us from all unrighteousness. Whatever we're going through, it doesn't compare to eternity with him. If we married 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years to just the worst spouse we can, that's but just a vapor compared to what he's offering us if we would do what he say do. If we die in Christ, he's going to wake us when he come back. We just sleep. That's how to be purged from idols, to stand in his word. To give up those idols, the fallen in high. But he can raise back our dead bones. He can raise us out that valley of dry bones. His spirit can give us life. Heavenly Father, help us this day, Lord God, to look unto you, Lord God.